Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
But tonight's message is called Thinking Outside Your Box. Thinking Outside Your Box. Can you change the way you think? Can you change the way you think? I don't know how many of you, just like me, have run into situations where you think a certain way, and it tends to become a pattern in your life, right? You think a certain way, and maybe it's a negative way, and then somebody talks to you, and you see the light, right? You see the light. You're like, man, this is wrong. This is wrong thinking. And then you see the light. You recognize that, and then a few weeks later, you realize that you're back to thinking the way you did in the beginning, right? Before you ever saw the light. So what I want to talk about starting tonight and finishing up next Wednesday night is not only how we think, but how to change the way we think. So tonight I want to spend a lot of time just talking about how we think and why we think the way that we think. And then next Wednesday night we're going to really dive into the scripture that I'm going to give you tonight. We're going to break it out and we're going to talk about what it means to change the way you think. How many of you think there's probably some ways that you think that need to change, right? There's probably some that are. And if you didn't raise your hand, it may be a pride thing that needs to change in your life, right? Now, I'm just teasing. I know some of you were writing notes. I'm just messing with you, right? But there's all of us in this room could stand some change, right? And we just sang the song that Jesus, you change everything, right? And how many of you are thankful that Jesus changes everything in your life, right? Not only does he change your situation, not only does he clean you up, not only does he get you out of a bad situation, not only does he teach you to stand firm upon a rock, not only does he get you out of the sinking muck and mire, but then he begins to work on your personality. Then he begins to work on your character. Then he begins to work on your mind, right? And these are things that are processes that take place over time. If you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, we're going to read our key scripture, which is going to be our key scripture for the next 2 weeks. So I'm reading out of the New King James Version tonight, and it reads like this: For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Let's pray. Father, I just give you praise, honor, and glory tonight, Father. Lord, as always, you know that I consider it a complete honor to fill this pulpit for Pastor Ronnie. I pray tonight, Father, that what I speak would be your words, that what comes out of me, Lord, would be what you want me to say. If there be anything, Lord, that I need to hold back, I pray that you would put gates up on my mouth. Father, I pray that the words that you speak through me tonight, your vessel, Lord, your humble vessel, Father, as I speak these words through you tonight, Father, or you speak them through me tonight, Lord, I pray for an effective change in people's mindsets. I pray for healing in their minds tonight, Lord, where things have been broken, where things have gone wrong. I pray for healing, Lord, to just overtake them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, Lord. Where wrong thinking gets them in trouble and leads them down wrong paths, I pray, Father, for a correction of that wrong thinking, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they would apply it to their lives as we listen in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. So the Word of God is awesome. The Word of God is how we create change in our lives. And not only do we have to read it, but we need to study it and understand it. So I'm talking about this scripture is what we're going to be talking about, but I'm going to give you a few more scriptures before we end tonight. And then if you could, I'm going to give you a little bit of homework. Is that okay? So some about a quarter of you said that's okay. So about a quarter of you will do it, and that's all right, you know. But I'm going to give you a little bit of homework. What I'd like you to do is read this scripture every day between now and next Wednesday. Read this scripture and pray that the Holy Spirit just enlightens you to its meaning in your life. Okay, that's your homework between now and next Wednesday. The next Wednesday, we're really going to break out this scripture and talk about what the things that they're speaking of in this scripture, what it means in your life, and how those things can change the way you think. Now, we as a church have a a mission statement or a vision statement to be a place where you can find focus for living, right? And the three ways we do that is we focus on God, we focus on ministry, and we focus on others, right? Those are the ways that we can have focus for ministry. Pastor Ronnie developed that mission statement because he heard somebody say one time that the only reason that people fail in life is because of broken focus. And when he first heard it, he didn't understand it and didn't agree with it. Well, as he thought about it and pondered it and studied it for a while, he came to believe that, yes, that's true, that the only reason that people fail is because of broken focus. Well, the only reason people have broken focus, I'm going to take it one step further, is because of the way that we think. And we tend to think about situations in the same way every time, unless we do something about it to change it. Unless we allow God into that crevice of our mind and begin to work and tweak on the way that we think. I was reading a story this week that reminded me a little bit about this sermon. It was a story of a Cherokee Indian youth's rite of passage. His father takes him into a forest blindfolded and leaves him all alone. He's required to sit on a stump for an entire night deep in the forest blindfolded, right? He cannot take off the blindfold until he feels the morning sun peeking through, and then he's able to take it off. He's all by himself. He cannot cry out for help to anyone, and once he survives the night, he will be a man. He cannot tell the other boys of this experience because each boy must come into his own manhood. So when his father took him out into the forest, he had no idea what he was facing. He had no idea what was going to happen. The boy was terrified. He could hear all kinds of noises all night long. He heard wild beasts going by and walking around him, and yet he couldn't cry out. And maybe even he thought in his mind that some human would come along and take advantage of him or hurt him, and he couldn't do anything about it. The wind would blow the grass and the earth and shake the stump, but he had to sit stoically, never removing the blindfold, and it would be the only way that he could come into manhood. Finally, after a horrific night, the sun appeared, and he removed his blindfold, and it was then that he saw his father sitting on the stump next to him where he had been the entire night. Now, a lot of times that reminded me, and that's not a Christian story. It's a legend in Cherokee in the Cherokee world. But how that reminded me of the times in my life where I've been so terrified and so afraid, or the times in my life I've been so angry and so upset, or the times in my life that I was so anxious and so nervous, or the times in my life that I was reacting out of fear, and I failed to notice that the Father was sitting right beside me the whole time, right? We react a certain way because we're actually trained ourselves based on our personality type to react certain ways in certain situations. And where the Bible comes in is the Bible says you can actually retrain your mind. You can actually change the way you think so that the way that you were born into the flesh doesn't have to be the way that you live your life, right? You can actually change the way that you think. Now, probably none of us have ever been in a situation where we've been blindfolded in the woods for an entire night. I would hope so, right? Probably none of us have ever been there, but I bet every one of us could tell the story of a situation or a thing that's happening in our life right now, or something that did happen in our life in the past where you felt so alone and you felt blinded and you felt like you couldn't do anything about it. And the truth is, the way that you think ran wild. Right? The little boy sitting on the stump blindfolded, his mind had ran wild. He imagined all these terrible things coming to pass and happening in his life. And as his mind ran wild, he never, ever once considered that his father was right there with him the whole time. He never considered that. And for you and me, we all get into situations where we need to know that God the Father is right there with us the whole time. And if we can grasp that truth, then that can be a catalyst for us to change the way that we think. Amen? All right. So how many of you believe that the way we react to those moments in our life depends a lot on our personalities? Anybody in here feel like maybe you have a strong personality? Anybody? Yeah, a few of you are willing to admit it, right? There's probably quite a few strong personalities in this room, right? Well, we all have different personalities from conception. And that should be my first slide there, Craig. We all have different personalities from conception. Now, notice I didn't say from birth. I said from conception, because humans are humans from conception. That's why we as Christians believe in the rights of the unborn. That's why we as Christians stand in opposition to abortion, because we believe that at the moment of conception, you became a human being. Now, I go one step further, and I believe that from the moment of conception, you have a personality. Amen? Does everybody agree with that tonight? From the moment of conception, I believe you have a personality. And why is that? Because Jeremiah 1:5 says, God, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Now, how many of you know, in order to be known, you must have a personality? If people don't have a personality, you can't know them. Now, I probably know a few people, and you may know a few people that you think don't have a personality, right? You try to talk to them, they don't talk back. You try to say hi to them and smile, they don't wave back. They don't speak to you. There's no conversation there. And you're like, they have absolutely zero personality, right? Well, the truth is, every one of us have a personality. Their personality just might not be like yours. Right? And because we all have different personalities, it creates conflicts in the world. Every conflict you have between you and another human being is a conflict of personalities. And once you realize that and understand that, the less conflict that you can have. Amen? So how many of you believe that every personality has positive and negative aspects of it? Every single personality. Everybody in here has a personality, and your personal personality has some positive aspects of it, and it has some negative aspects of it, right? There's some great things about you, and there's some horrible things about you. There's some great things about me, and there's some awful things about me, right? There's some ways that I deal with people that my wife is like, oh, that's so sweet. And then there's some ways that I deal with people my wife is like, what were you thinking? You know, because I have some great aspects of my personality, and I have some bad aspects of my personality. It's true of everybody sitting in this room. Now listen, our personalities happen upon conception. However, they're tweaked throughout life as we deal with experiences. Bad experiences embolden the negative aspects of your personality. So every time you go through a bad experience or a turmoil or a storm in your life, it has a tendency, and I say tendency because through Christ, you don't have to allow anything to affect you negatively, but you have a tendency to allow your bad aspects of your personality to begin to rise to the surface, right? That's why we always say that don't be careful that you poke people, because if you poke them too hard, what's inside of them might come out, right? Right? If you fill up a balloon with mud and you fill up a balloon with water and you poke the balloon with water too hard, water comes out. You poke the balloon with nasty, dirty mud in it, nasty, dirty mud comes out. People are much the same way, right? So if you're full of nasty dirtiness and full of a bad attitude, then if you get poked too hard, guess what comes out? Your bad attitude. If you're full of the love of Christ and the fruits of the Spirit and you get poked too hard, guess what comes out? The fruits of the Spirit, right? Now, I'm not talking about a moment, right? We all have moments. There's a preacher, a lady named Lisa Turkhurst that preaches, and she preached a Mother's Day message I heard one time, and she said, bad moments don't make bad mamas. Right? That stuck with me. And it not only just on a mama status, because I'm not a mama, but I still applied it to my life, that bad moments don't make bad pastors. Right? Bad moments don't make bad men. Right? Bad moments in your life don't make who you are, but you've got to look at who you are on a regular basis, right? You've got to identify, how do I act on a regular basis? You need to identify what you're doing every single day. How do you react when you get pushed every single day? And if you react poorly, then that's an indicator that something needs to change in your life. Now, what we tend to do is we say, well, that's just my personality. I'm just, you know, I just got one of them rough personalities. Kind of like Pastor Cash. No, he don't. He's got a great personality, right? But maybe I've got one of those rough personalities, and if they push me too hard, man, I just got to slug back. That's just my personality. That's because you're only focused on the negative aspects of your personality. Every personality has negative aspects. Every personality has positive aspects. If you're only focused on the negative, that's all that's going to show. That's all that's going to come back. And then we blame it on our genealogy. We blame it on our ancestry. Well, I'm Irish, you know, so I like to drink. I'm Irish, you know, so I'll punch somebody if they bump into me, right? Or I'm Mexican like my wife, and I have to carry a knife. You know, that's just what I do, right? Or is that Puerto Ricans? Any Puerto Ricans in the house? Do you have a knife? You have a knife? She does have a knife. Don't mess with her, man. So right? Mexicans have machetes? What do Mexicans carry, right? Tamales. Thank you. I'm Mexican, so I got a tamale. You know, I've always got a tamale in my purse, right? No, but we just took a wild path, didn't we? So basically, on your personality, everybody has a personality. And yes, it may get tweaked based on your genealogy. Yes, it might get tweaked based on the relationships in your life. Yes, it might get tweaked based on bad things that have happened to you. But the truth is, all of us have a personality that comes with either bad aspects or good aspects. And through Christ, we can tweak those good aspects and bring those to the surface. Apart from Christ, generally, those bad aspects are going to rise to the surface. Amen? Right. So when I think about this, I think about my three kids and how they came into the world. Now, if we believe that everybody has a personality from conception, I've got proof, right? My daughter, Dylan, our first, came into the world loud and proud, man. She came into the world wailing at the top of her lungs. I mean, her face was bright red. Her eyes were squinted shut. She had an afro about this big, and she was going, ah! Right? And she was screaming at the top of her lungs, right? And I was like, oh, good Lord. You know, she was loud, right? And it took a little while to get her to calm down, and had to rock her and hold her and love on her and give her some kisses, and then she calmed down. Well, guess what? Just last week, I had to hold her and rock her and give her, no, I'm just kidding. Not last week, maybe a few weeks ago, right? But even today, she is still loud and boisterous and doesn't care what people think, and she is who she is, and that was because that was her personality from birth. Now, there's some good aspects of that personality, and there's some rough aspects of that personality, right? And Kennedy was my middle child, and when she came into the world, she was so quiet. She was the only kid that I didn't get to cut the umbilical cord because she was so quiet. The doctors were so worried that they cut the umbilical cord quickly and got her into an incubator and sat there and rubbed on her feet and beat her feet until she made just a little whimper. She sounded like a little puppy, right? And I was like, what's going on? And me and Jess are a little worried because we're used to, ah! And all of a sudden we got a, you know, and we're like, something's wrong. And we're both just worried and scared that something was wrong. Well, nothing was wrong. It was her personality. So they beat on her feet for a little while, and finally she gave out a little whimper. Well, guess what? Even today, at 20 years old, if I want to get her to talk to me about something, I have to take her shoes off and beat her feet. Not really, but it feels that way. Like, I'm like, come on, baby, I know something's wrong. Just tell Daddy, I'm right here. And she's like, mm-mm-mm. And she's like mad and got a tear running down her cheek. I know something happened. Just tell me what happened. I'll try to help you. Mm-mm-mm, right? She doesn't talk. She won't come out with it, right? And I have to almost plead with her to get it out of her so that I can help her, right? And that's her personality. Now, Colin came out of the womb, I promise. Colin came out of the room with a huge smile on his face. He came out smiling and peeing. Right? He had this huge smile, and when the rest of his body broke air, the pee stream was flying right over the doctor's head. Right? That was Colin. That's my baby. He's 17 right now, right? And even today, people call him Smiley because they see him smiling everywhere he goes. He smiles at everybody he sees. He's always laughing, always loving, always having a good time. And up until last year, I had to teach him not to pee in public. Right? I'm like, dude, you're going to get arrested now. You're getting a little too old for that. Right? It's called indecent exposure. It's not cute anymore. Right? But even today, all three of my kids act the same way they came out of the womb. And I'm sure if you're a parent, you probably can think back and remember how your kids came into the world, how they reacted as babies and under one, and how they acted. And you could probably see characteristics of them now that are characteristic of them today, right? Because that stuff follows up because we have a personality from the point of conception. And when we come out, we show immediately our personality, right? Well, in the book of Genesis, chapter 25, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it, and you can turn there later if you're making notes. We're going to read verses 21 through 28. This is a great biblical example of how two people came out of the womb, two twins, fraternal twins, came out of the womb with absolutely different personalities. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. My Lord, do we have any 60-year-olds in the house? You want a baby? I'm just curious, right? It was a little different time back then. So Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So two boys came out of the same womb with the same parents with totally different personalities. Right? Now, not only did they have totally different personalities, they had totally different destinies from the time that they came out of the womb. Right? Jacob would be forced to walk through his life with a name called deceiver, right? Because that's what Jacob means. It means liar and deceiver. So he had to walk through life with this name that everywhere he went, people called him, "Oh, hey, liar, hey, deceiver." But he was a liar and a deceiver. And it took up until late in life for God to change his name. And then God actually had to change his name twice before he actually changed, right? And changed his name, obviously, to Israel, and he's the father of the Jewish people, right? Now, Esau served a purpose in the Bible. He also served a purpose. They had two purposes as they came out of the womb. What I want to encourage you about today is no matter what your personality type, no matter how different you are from somebody else, God has a purpose for your life. He has a reason that you are the way you are. Now, I'm talking about the positive aspects of your personality. The negative aspects are the leaning towards the flesh that we have to work on, right? And that's what we're going to talk about next week, is changing those negative aspects. But God made you the way you are. You don't have to be sorry about your personality, right? If you're loud and brazen, guess what? God made you that way. If you're a leader and you do better giving orders than taking orders, guess what? God made you that way to use you for a specific purpose. If you're quiet and you don't like to give orders, or maybe you're a little bit of a back in the room crowd and you don't like to be seen, God made you that way for a specific purpose, and it's up to you to find out what that specific purpose is. Amen? Every one of us have a divine designation from God. He uses our individual personalities for his will, to create his will. Now, we all have strengths and giftings that come with inherent weaknesses that we have to understand before we can ever change the way you think. So why am I spending so much time on the way we think tonight and changing it next week? Because you'll never change it if you don't recognize and understand why you think and feel the way you think and feel today. You have to recognize what's part of your personality, what's a positive aspect, what's a negative aspect, so you can determine and pray about how to change that in your life. Amen? Is anybody with me? Is anybody interested in changing parts of your personality that may be negative, right? I am, right? You may be interested in changing parts of your personality that might be negative. There's a personality test called the Four Temperaments Test, right? It was originally created by a Greek scholar and medical doctor named Hippocrates, right? And Hippocrates created these four phrases that we're going to go over tonight. He created these four phrases around the same time of the ministries of Jeremiah and Malachi. So about the time the book of Jeremiah was happening, the book of Malachi was happening, that those two prophets, during that time, Hippocrates was in Greece and he was devising these four. Now, some people say he got these four from the book of Proverbs, who was written about 500 years before that. And Proverbs chapter 30 goes into four personality types, and there are some similarities there. So it could be. He could have heard some preaching. He could have heard somebody speaking about the book of Proverbs. He could have read it himself, being a scholar, and maybe devised these four personality types. Now, what he did is he said, if you have these four personality types, it means that you're sick. And it means we got to do something for you. Now, obviously, later in life, they found out that he was on to something, but not the sick part. What he was on to was that there are exactly four different types of people, and we can characterize each and every person in this room as one of those types. I believe that every one of us primarily fits into one of these four categories, but we all have tendencies in each category. But there's going to be one that really stands out to you when we go through it. So what I want you to do tonight is I want you, if you have a pen, if you have a piece of paper, I want you to write down which personality trait as we go through these that you think you identify with, okay? The first one is choleric. Choleric individuals tend to be more extroverted, right? They're described as being independent, decisive, goal-oriented. They enjoy being in charge of a group since they have many leadership qualities as well as ambition. Choleric personalities also have a logical and fact-based outlook on the world. Now, if we looked at a biblical person in the Bible that was a choleric, it would be Paul. Right, Paul would be a choleric. What would a choleric look like? The house. Somebody would come in and say, the house is on fire. And if somebody came in and said, the house is on fire, to a choleric, he would say, okay, you grab a bucket, you get a fire extinguisher, you get a hose, follow me, you go turn it on, and let's put this thing out, right? We're going to take care of this, right? That's a choleric. That's how a choleric would respond to a house fire, right? They would say, do this right now. Do this now. Negative aspects of a choleric are these. They're very sensitive. They're easily hurt. They react strongly to both praise and blame. If somebody blames them, they react strongly to it. They take it personally. If somebody praises them, they react strongly to it. They take it personally, right? So they react strongly to praise or blame. Most freely expressed emotion is anger. So if you find yourself getting angry very easily, and anger is the first and primary emotion that you show when you get pressed, you might be a choleric. A choleric just might be who you are, right? Join the club. I'm a choleric. So most freely expressed emotion is anger. I don't believe I'm in this next part because I'm countered by Christ. Okay, but it can be conceited and enamored with their own appearance. No. Right. So the next one is sanguine. You might be a sanguine. The personality type of sanguine is described primarily as being enthusiastic, active, and social. Sanguines tend to be more extroverted and enjoy being part of a crowd. They find that being social, outgoing, and charismatic is easy to accomplish. Individuals with this personality have a hard time doing nothing and engage in more risk-seeking behavior because they can't sit still. Right? Sanguines are just wild, man. Right? Peter was a sanguine. Peter followed Jesus for 3 years and then went on a cussing spree. Right? Right? Peter was a sanguine. He was just wild, man. Sanguines are usually late. Right? So if you're throwing a party and you invite a sanguine, they're going to show up late, and it's probably because they were having their own party on the way there. Right? They bring the party with them. Right? That's the sanguine. Right? The sanguine, if you came in and you said, hey, the house is on fire, would go, yo, man. Quit harshing my vibe, bro. It's going to be all right. Just finish your meal, and we'll take care of it, right? That's a sanguine, man. They're just chill, right? The sanguine's chill. So the downfalls of a sanguine are any impulsive decisions are often wrong, right? So if you're a sanguine, you better think through your decisions because your impulses are probably wrong, right? And you need to know that, okay? Sanguines can have frequent fluctuation of mood alternating between pure elation and total depression, right? And they can go back and forth. Some of you are like, man, I thought I was like, what do you call that? Bipolar. Thank you. I was like, polar. I was like, something polar. Man, you're probably sitting there thinking, man, I thought I was bipolar. No, you might just be a sanguine. You might just need Jesus to offset the negatives of their sanguine personality, right? You might just be a sanguine. The next one is melancholic. These individuals tend to be analytical, detail-oriented, or deep thinkers and feelers. They're sometimes introverted and try to avoid being singled out in a crowd. A melancholic personality leads to self-reliant individuals who are thoughtful, reserved, and often anxious. They often strive for perfection within themselves and their surroundings, which leads to a tidy and detail-oriented behavior. I know that Josh is not a melancholic because he's not tidy or detail-oriented, right? An example of a biblical melancholic would be Moses. Right, Moses would be a biblical melancholic, right? What would a melancholic say if somebody ran in and said, the house is on fire? The melancholic would go, oh, man, we're all going to die. The clerics run around grabbing buckets, right? The sanguine's dancing alone in the corner, right? And the melancholic's crying, going, we're going to die. We're going to die. There ain't no way the cleric's going to get that fire out in time. We're going to die, right? That's the melancholic, right? So if that's you, you might be a melancholic, right? Or you might be phlegmatic. Phlegmatic individual tends to be relaxed, peaceful, quiet, and easygoing, right? They're sympathetic. They care about others, yet try to hide their emotions. Phlegmatic individuals also are good at generalizing ideas or problems to the world and making compromises. A biblical example of a phlegmatic would be Abraham, right? So what would a phlegmatic say if somebody ran in and said, the house is on fire? He'd say, wait, choleric, wait, everybody, melancholy, stop crying. Why are you crying? Everybody, just sit down. Let's take some breaths and let's devise a plan. Right? That's the phlegmatic, right? The house is on fire. It's spreading quick, but they want to sit down and devise a plan, and they show no emotion. No emotion about it. They're not worried, right? Melancholy is freaking out and crying, right? And the choleric's freaking out, running around doing stuff. The phlegmatic just wants everybody to sit down and let's devise a plan, right? That's the phlegmatic. So you might be a phlegmatic. Now, what I want you to do tonight, and this is part of this could also be part of your homework. You're like, I don't come to church to get homework, Pastor Steve. Well, it's okay. You should, right? You should study everything that's taught from the pulpit and go home and study it and apply it to your lives, right? Well, let's talk about this. Think about a conflict you've had with somebody lately. If you're a choleric, it was probably this morning. Right? Think about a conflict you've had with somebody lately. Now, you've got that conflict in your mind. Now, I want you to think about what your personality type is. What is your personality type? And I'm talking about a conflict you may have with somebody that you know well, right? So what's your personality type? Now, think about what their personality type is, right? So if you may be a choleric, they may be melancholic, right? You may be screaming and yelling and stomping your feet. They may be bawling and crying and laying on the floor. Right, but you, it doesn't matter what your personality type is. Think about your personality type. Think about the person you got in the conflict with's personality type. Now, make a decision. Was your conflict because you have two different personalities? Was your conflict just because you had two different personalities? Sometimes we enter into conflict with people just because we're different than they are. Right? Now, if we can understand that, and we can get a grip on that, and we can know who we are, we can get into a lot less conflict, right? God's worked this out in my life long before I wrote this sermon, but as I was writing the sermon, I was recognizing the ways God was my counselor, right? He worked a lot of this stuff out in my life long before I ever wrote this sermon. So I could have avoided a lot of conflicts in my life. So let's talk about that. Cholerics could get frustrated with phlegmatics because they don't show any emotion. Cholerics immediately go to emotion, right? If something's not going right, they're immediately emotive, right? They use every emoji in the phone, right? You ever see anybody post on your page and they use like 27 emojis and you're like, man, take a Xanax. What is wrong with you, right? What in the world? What in the literal world, Josh? What in the world, man? And they text you back, like you text them, like, hey, you want to go out to breakfast with me tomorrow? And they text back, yes! ! Heart, kissy face, heart, kissy face, hand in the air, praying hands. And you're like, I don't think I want to go to breakfast with you again. Oh, I'm sorry, something just came up. Right? Cholerics are immediately emotive. They immediately go to emotion. Right? Phlegmatics show nothing. Right? Phlegmatics are those people that text back, K. Man, I am so grateful for you. I so appreciate your prayers this morning. They just rocked my world, changed my life. Heart emoji, heart emoji, heart emoji. Praising hands emoji, praising hands emoji. Praying emoji. I can't believe the wisdom in your prayers. You just read my mail this morning, and I'm letting you know that nothing is ever going to be the same ever again. ! And the phlegmatic said, okay. Right? The phlegmatic hurts feelings and doesn't even try to. It's just who they are. They're non-expressive, non-emotive. Right? My father-in-law was a phlegmatic, I think. My father-in-law, because he was so... I remember one time I was new in Christ, and I was still a smoker, right? And I was trying my best to quit, and I knew God wanted me to quit, and God had already been speaking to me about quitting, and I came to his house, and I believed in his prayers so much because he was a mighty man of God, and he was a prayer warrior, and I sat across the table from him, and I said, Charles, would you pray with me to stop smoking today? And he goes, you ready to quit smoking? I said, yes, sir. He goes... closed his book he was reading, looked at me and said, Lord, touch him, take it away, in Jesus' name, amen. Click, open up his book. I was deflated, man. I'm a choleric. I was like, well, if you didn't want to pray with me, then I'll just go find somebody else who wants to pray with me, right? And how many of you know that prayer was just as effective? That prayer was just as effective, but I wanted a choleric prayer. I wanted anger. I wanted stomping on the devil. Stomping on his head. Stomp on his head. Get it away from me right now. Get him off of him, demon. Get off of him, devil. Just go. Whoa. You know, that's what I wanted. And Charles said, be loosed. I did smoke again after that. But pretty soon after that, I quit. Pretty soon after that, I quit, right? I think Elisha was probably a phlegmatic. Remember when the soldier from the other kingdom came to him and got off his horse and wanted to speak to him and get cured of his leprosy, and Elisha didn't even come to the door? He just sent a servant and said, yeah, just go dip in the water 7 times, you'll be healed. Right? It wasn't what he was expecting. Right? That guy was a cleric, exactly. He wanted some devil stomping, head shaking, chicken moving. Right? He wanted some charismatic, Pentecostal craziness up in the mix because he wanted to feel like something happened when he went home. Right? The truth is, the Holy Spirit can move through you whether you're a phlegmatic or whether you're a choleric. It doesn't matter if you're emotional or if you're over-emotional like I am. Right? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you just sit there and cry because you're melancholy and you can't get the prayer out. You're like... touch of Jesus! Right? Because you're melancholy. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your personality type is. God will move through you, right? And God designed you the way you are, right? So understanding your personality and the personality of those closest to you is key to getting along in relationships. If you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking, man, there's somebody that lives in my house that I'm just struggling with getting along with, it's always a challenge, right? Take a look at your personality types. You may be two clerics. Believe me, two clerics can bump heads. You may be two clerics in the household. Man, and that's rough, but once you figure that out and you understand that it's your personality type, then you can overlook some differences, right? You can overlook some problems because you recognize that's just their personality, and then you can get along much better. So here's the next part of that. Understanding how you're designed to think is key to achieving peace about who you are and how God made you. Amen. I don't know how many people I talk to that are so just uncomfortable with who they are. They're so I just wish that I could cry like a melancholy. Or I just wish that I could lead like a choleric, right? Or maybe some clerics, I just wish I could shut up like a phlegmatic. But no, I keep running my mouth and get into trouble, right? And people are just uncomfortable with who they are. But understanding how you're designed to think is key to achieving peace about who you are. Tonight, I speak peace over you. If you've been upset about who you are and you don't like who you are and you wish you could change you, I speak peace over you tonight. If that's the positive aspects of your personality, don't seek to change. God made you that way for a reason. Here's the next part of that. You are not a mistake. Amen. You're not a mistake. There's some people who sit around and think that because they're different, they're a mistake. You are not a mistake. Psalm 139:14 says, I praise you, you being God, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. Tonight, it's my prayer that those who feel like they're different or they're a mistake because they don't react like somebody else reacts or they don't do what somebody else does, I want you to get into your heart this psalm tonight, Psalm 139. Get that into your heart and know that full well. What does I know that full well mean? I know that full well equals to know something without a doubt. I want you to understand that God made you the way you are. He gave you your personality. He knows you full well, right? And you know that full well tonight, that without a doubt, God created you for who you are. Now, when you become aware of this, and you become aware of your personality type, and you accept that you were created with a certain personality, then you have to also understand that the enemy can use those personality types against us. So what's going to take place next week? Next week, we're going to dig into that scripture, 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. We're going to dig into that and understand that we can place hedges of protection around us and around our personalities so the enemy can't use them for evil, right? And God can use the positive aspects of our personality for good, and the Holy Spirit can squelch the negative aspects of our personality and help us to live more Christ-like lives. Amen? Now, here's the next key to this. Having a tendency towards something does not mean you have to give in to the struggle. This is key, okay? You may have a personality type that has some negatives attached to it, and maybe you've been displaying those negatives on full-blown, man. Maybe they've been full-blown in your life. Understand this. Having a tendency doesn't mean you have to give in to the struggle, right? The Holy Spirit applies the fruits of the Spirit in our life, right? That the Scripture says that we're to bear the fruits of the Spirit. It doesn't say we're to produce the fruits of the Spirit. You can't produce the fruits of the Spirit on your own apart from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces it, and you bear it. That means you carry it. So you carry in your life love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You carry those things in your life regardless of your personality type. You may be a choleric and you love loudly, and you may be a phlegmatic and you love without ever saying it. But no matter what your personality type, understand that you're called to carry those fruits in your life. Now listen, tonight, and stand with me if you would, we're about to close. tonight, you could have a tendency towards depression and anxiety because of your personality type. Understand this, that no matter what your personality type is, you can walk in joy and peace handheld with Christ. Okay? It doesn't matter if you have a tendency toward anxiety. It doesn't matter if you have a tendency toward depression. You can live in joy and peace. You could have a tendency toward jumping into dangerous situations and constantly making bad decisions. You could have that tendency. But hand in hand with the Holy Spirit in your life, you can live self-controlled and not make decisions that destroy your life. You could have a tendency towards same-sex attraction, sexual addictions, pornography. You could have a tendency toward those things in your life. But understand that's a struggle of the flesh that walking hand in hand with Christ, he can heal you of. And he can walk you far from it. And you can steward your sexuality in a manner that's pleasing to God. Okay? You could have a tendency towards drowning your fears and worries in addictions and alcohol. But through Christ, you can be set free from any of those addictions. You can be set free from any drug addiction and any alcohol addiction through Christ. You could have a tendency toward being haughty and prideful and selfish. But with Christ, you can still have a life of humbleness and kindness. You could have a tendency toward isolating yourself from people who love you and care about you. But with Christ, you can have fellowship with other believers and be built up and be sharpened by them. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this place, I don't feel like I'm supposed to have an altar call, so I'm not. I'm not going to invite you to the altar, but I'm just going to ask you right where you are, with every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. First and foremost, if you just need to accept Christ in your life, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to step out of your seat. I'm just going to ask you to lift a hand, and you can put it right back down, and then we're going to pray with you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Is there anybody else that would like to accept Christ tonight? Let's pray a prayer. Everybody praying with me quickly for those two who accepted Christ. Everybody say this prayer with me. Father, I acknowledge that Jesus died on a cross for me. I accept what he did for me. I recognize that he forgives my sins. And I thank you, Lord, for coming into my life and creating a new me. In Jesus' name, amen. Give a hand clap of praise for those two that accepted Christ tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.